Lesson this morning is from one of the pivotal chapter in Paul's letter to the followers of Jesus in Rome. It's the eighth chapter, and it's three verses. I think they might be rather familiar verses to you from Romans chapter 8, 28 to 30. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Amen and amen. I'm very grateful. I want you to know this. I really am, to be a part of a church family that so graciously provides the blessing of time away to recharge and to refresh and to renew one's faith and one's life in Christ. And I want to say thank you to you this morning for the blessing and the gift of that. I mean, there's been numbers of you that have already made the kind inquiry of me, did Jan and I have a good holiday? And the answer is, and I really don't want to come across as a representative, for tourism PEI, but the answer is a resounding yes. We had a wonderful wonderful holiday. However, as wonderful as that holiday was, I mean, you can't avoid having a good holiday, really, on that gentle island. You really can't. But as wonderful as the holiday was, yes is not my complete answer. You know, is this your final answer? No, it's not. Yes isn't. Because I felt, how would I put it? And I've written about this for the Flamborough Review. The article will be in this coming Thursday's paper. I felt somewhat off kilter through much of my time away. You know, here I was. You have to get the picture, okay? Here I was in enjoying the red cliffs and the red roads, the lush green landscape. I mean, the gentle, sometimes surging waves of the ocean, the sandy beaches of home, as I like to call them. All the richness of a Prince Edward Island summer. And yet, all around me, in the words this past week of the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, the world is exploding all over. I mentioned this to someone. Why didn't you just turn it all off? Well, you can't turn it off. I couldn't turn it off. And there we are, just in this wonderful, almost idyllic situation. And the world's a mess. You know, you've got a ruthless terrorist group that's butchering, slaughtering people across parts of Syria and Iraq. You've got civilians, many of them children, dying in the conflict between Israel and Hamas. You've got Ebola across much of West Africa. You've got passengers in an airplane shot down in the Ukraine with the tension still high, 2 months on. And you know this, that's the short list. It's a mess. Now, I understood and I got it and you get it that so much of this, at least at the present moment, is happening at a rather safe distance from us. But stuff, bad stuff, it can come close, it can come home, and who knows what's on the horizon even for this land and this people, but stuff, bad stuff, still comes close to our lives, whether it's sickness or disease or it's cancer or other issues of health. It could be broken relationships, addictions. It could be financial struggles. Who knows? And you know, all this stuff, it just leaves your head spinning. You know, unless you're living in denial and self-deception, spinning. Just wondering to yourself, thinking to yourself, oh God, God. I mean, what are we to make of this? How can we live in a world, whether on the global level or the personal level, that is in such chaos? How can we? Now, you understand this. I know you're like me. You will not sugarcoat over this, will you? You will not allow yourself to settle for the saccharine sayings of, you know, the power of positive, you know, thinking, or grin and bear it, or the stiff upper lip, or whatever. You know, but if you don't go that direction, and we shouldn't, how then do you respond to it without going the route of denial and putting your head in the sand? Is there a way to live with purpose and meaning, and indeed in peace in a world where it's exploding all over, where there's so much bad stuff going on? There have been two writers in our day that have been very helpful to me in thinking through some of these questions into a way of living that really does have shafts of hope-filled light and life. And the first one is Philip Yancey, and he's a prolific writer and author and a much-in-demand speaker in places where bad stuff happens, when all those school children young people were murdered in Sandy Hook in Connecticut. He was called there, and he thought, you know, New England, there aren't very many. He had a friend who was the pastor of a church. He asked him to come and speak. Yancey lives in Colorado, and he says, well, you know, New England's a rather secular place, and there won't be very many people to listen to me, and there were thousands. And he's been to Japan following the tsunami. In Eastern Europe and other India and other parts of the world. His latest book, The Question That Never Goes Away, Why, is very, very helpful. The other person helpful to me is Tim Keller, who's a Presbyterian pastor in New York, and again, a writer and an apologist and a speaker. Some call him the 21st century C.S. Lewis. And he's, but you know, but beyond these writers, where there's real help, lasting help, is the living and the true Word of God found in Scripture, God's Word. And both those men have been very helpful to me, but Scripture, you know, never shies away from these kinds of questions. It faces them head on and confronts them and doesn't back off of them. And it is the question of Romans chapter 8. You know, so many people quote verse 28 and, you know, God works together all things for good. You know, and they think Romans chapter 8 is about bad stuff. That's the context for this this verse. It's exactly, the bad stuff is exactly what a man named Paul, the author of this letter to the Christians, to the followers of Jesus in Rome, it's what he was writing about in the first century A.D. And verses 18 and following are all about, you read verse 18, 19, 20, and they're about the groanings of the world that we live in. And what are these groanings? It's the decay, it's the curse, it's the suffering, it's the weakness, it's the death. It's such a sad and tragic part of the fabric of our lives and our world. This morning and over the next two Sundays, I want to look in particular at these three verses, one verse each week in Romans chapter 8, 28, 29, and 30. And my hope and my prayer is this, that you will be able to find some ground, some very solid ground to build your life on, promises of God to hold on to in the times of the bad stuff, and that's right now, but also promises of God that will hold on to you. You will know that you're held strongly and securely in the grip of God, even in the midst of the bad stuff of life. This morning, we look at verse 28, and I want to use the translation from the Kingdom New Testament, and this is, Darlene, can you put that? There we have. Yeah, it's Tom Wright. It's N.T. Wright's translation of the Greek in Romans chapter 8. We know, in fact, that God works all things together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Okay, first thing, and Skip, if you want, you can answer the question this time, okay? Or anybody else for that matter. But what do you suppose all things means here? Yeah, that looks like Ryan, doesn't it? Yeah. Good verse to ponder, Ryan. But in this verse, God works all things. What do you think all things means? It's really simple. The answer is really simple. All things means all things. Not some things, not a few things. It means all things, everything. You see, Paul didn't live in denial. He writes as a follower of Jesus that you can expect to go through, as a follower of Jesus, you can expect, hear this now, you can expect to go through everything that people who are not followers of Jesus go through. All things. Everything. There's no escape clause. You know, I don't know what it is about me, but the number of times when I have gone through some hard times, and I've had some, and I've asked myself and I've asked God the question, why me? Why me? I mean, I live a good life. I really try to keep my nose clean. And I'm a pastor. Why me? Of all people. Why me? Why me? You know, where do we get this? I mean, I don't want to tell you the number of times. It's not flattering. But where have we ever gotten this question, this thought that as a Christian, somehow or other, we're going to be spared from the all things of life, from the pain and the loss and the brokenness and all that stuff in life. That didn't come from the Bible, okay? God has never said anything like that. I mean, it doesn't come there. All things here means all things. And all the same things that happen to other people are going to happen to us as followers of Jesus. In fact, if we read what Jesus said, he said this, in this world you will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. You're going to have trouble in this world. And here's the trouble that the followers of Jesus in Rome were facing. You can read about it, you know, in verse 35 in Romans chapter 8. Calamity, persecution, hunger, destitution, danger. They were threatened with death on a regular basis. The followers of Jesus in Rome had no escape clause. They didn't have that, and neither do we. Bad circumstances, bad stuff happens to everyone. All things means all things. And as a result, I know that we are, I know that I am, but the truth is we shouldn't be surprised and shocked. Secondly, I realized something afresh and anew this summer in Prince Edward Island. Whenever something good happens in my life, it's God. You know, I'm so slow to see that. Sometimes I think it's me, or it's Jan, or it's, you know, my genius. Oh, no, not my genius. But whenever something good happens in my life, it's God. God's the one who brings it together, who makes it happen, who causes it, brings it into being. Oh. Being able to take a walk with my 17-month-old grandson, Luke, in his stroller for 4 kilometers right alongside Cove Head Bay. I don't know how many of you have been along the Bay Shore Road and the North Shore there in Stanhope. I mean, Diane, you know what I'm talking about. It's glorious. It's wonderful. And that was God's gift to me. That's a good thing that God gave me. You know, we live in a world that's falling apart. It's exploding all over. Chuck Hagel says it's coming apart, it's broken, it's flawed. And wherever there's a sign of something good in our lives and in our world, wherever and whoever and whatever that's about, that's God. That's the grace and that's the goodness of God. You know, any of the beauty and any of the wonder that you have been privileged to experience during the months of summer 2014, let me tell you, that's God. That's the hand, and that's the favor of God. I mean, can I be blunt? You didn't have a whole lot to do with it. Don't think that you did. It's God. You know, I get it. I understand that every one of us is created as a masterpiece of God. But guess what? Every one of us has made a royal mess of it, too. We're broken. We're flawed. You know, you peel back the layers, and you don't have to go very far in my life, and what you see is pride and selfishness. This guy's an onion, you know. I get smelly the deeper you go. And we're all like that. You know, I say this. There but for the grace of God go I as a murderous, brutal thug. As a member of ISIS. And that's the truth. I've had so many undeserved miracles of grace this summer, and it was all God working all things together for good. In my life, our new 9 a.m. worship leader and director, Matt McKenna, and he won't actually be starting until the beginning, the 1st of October or so, because he's on tour with his group through September in Western Canada. But Matt taught us a new song this spring, and it's written by Matt Gungor called Beautiful Things, and there's just one line in it. It's a powerful song. I think the group from Hamilton District Christian High School sang it when they were here too, but there's this one line, you, meaning God, you make beautiful things out of the dust of my life and your life and our lives and the life of this world. Don't ever be surprised. We will be, I know, but take off the shades about bad things happening in our lives and be filled with wonder at the good things of God that our lives receive from His hand. Finally, last, let's get to it in this verse. There's a strong, unbreakable promise and commitment of God here in verse 28. And it's that God in Christ, in Jesus, is going to be at work in all the bad stuff and all of the bad things that happens in our lives, in personal level, global level, in this world. And God is going to weave and craft and bring good effects, good things out of them. In Philip Yancey's book, The Question That Never Goes Away, Why, he quotes a poet from Texas in the United States, Christian Wyman, who writes this: Christ is God crying, I am here. When you are in the middle of some bad stuff, Yancey says this, that Jesus is God's voice saying, I'm here with you. And Yancey writes, because of Jesus, we have the assurance that whatever disturbs us disturbs God more. Whatever grief we feel, God feels more. And whatever it is that we long for, God longs for more. And it, you know, I've been reading, I downloaded that book on Kindle, and I've been reading it through the summer, and I keep coming back to that page where he writes that, It's that last phrase that just gets me again and again and again. Whatever it is that I long for, God longs for more. Well, let me tell you what I long for. I long for something better. When I look around at a world exploding all over, when I look around at the situation even here and some of the lives in this church family, I long for something good. That's my longing. I long for good for the people of the Ukraine and Syria and Iraq and Israel and Gaza. I long for good in the life of my friend Ellen Cook. I long for good. You're my family. I long for good, I long for good in Ryan's life as he goes off to Ryerson, and Zach's life as he heads to Conestoga. I long for good, but I've got to realize, I've got to understand all of those longings, and they're real. Hear this, I've got to understand this. God longs for it even more. I mean, I'm just the tip of the iceberg of longing at that point, all right? God longs for that in this world and in your life even more. God hates the bad stuff, and God grieves that bad stuff so much that what happened is that this plan was formed in eternity, that the Son, that Jesus would come into the world and experience that bad stuff at its rawest, at its worst, at its depraved depth. He'd experience it. And then destroy it. You see, the longing of God, the heart of God, here's God's longing. It's to heal our world. It's not to take us off to some, far distant part of the galaxy or universe. This world, to restore and renew this world, to make a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, and to heal this world, and to heal your life, lives of pain and sickness and disease and death. No more crying, no more weeping, no more sadness, no more death. Everything new. Everything. What do you think everything means? Everything new. And it's through Jesus that healing has already come and will come. Now and not yet. More to come. Gloriously more to come. And in it all, what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 is that there, because of this, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing, there's not anything. Can I be more declarative? That can separate you from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. Well, actually, there is something. I think of it. Paul would agree with me, I think. I know he would. It's my own pride and selfishness and sense of self-sufficiency. You know, when you peel deep, I've got to give that to Jesus. I've got to yield that and surrender that. You know, those are the things that can ultimately harm me. All of this other stuff, the bad stuff, that will not ultimately harm me. I cannot be separated. You cannot be separated from the healing love of God. But what will separate you is pride and selfishness and denial and deception about yourself. And that's got to be, you know, Jesus, open me up. Spirit of God, just, you know, take the carving knife and cut me open and have it and take it and heal it. All the other stuff, ultimately of no effect, void, gone. Oh, sure, I'm going to die someday, but I'm going to live. And I want you to know that's the promise that's in this verse here. And I don't say this next thing lightly. Oh, I'm getting carried away. I don't say this lightly. That's the promise of Jesus that his followers that are on the mountainside in Iraq today, those Christians, are holding on to. That's holding them. They've been told convert or die. And they're holding on to that promise. It's holding them that nothing can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it's the promise that you can hold on to today and tomorrow. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness, the great faithfulness of our promise-keeping God. We're going to sing that in just a moment, Gene, if you want to get ready. But I think before we sing it, I'd like to take a moment and that we would just be quiet. And would you use, I want to invite you to use, because you see, God, Yancey calls God the great recycler. You know, he takes all this bad stuff and recycles it and brings good stuff, his good stuff. Would you take a moment, please, and thank God for how he's recycling already? I mean, thank God for how he's working in all things together for good right now in your life. And give God your present thanks. But take a moment, too, to give God your future thanks. Because this isn't the end of the story. There's more to come. And give God thanks for that. Thank God that all the time he's good. Oh, I have to tell you, my cousin's son, years back, his wife and his pregnant wife, she and her baby were killed in a car accident. And I will never forget at the service in Cambridge how he stood before 700-800 people and he said, God is good all the time. Through his tears, all the time, God is good. Take a moment. Be quiet before the Lord and pray. We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Sing it as a prayer. Sing it in faith. Sing it from your heart. Let's stand together.